It's the first time you really get a glimpse face to face of old Mac. Fear. How many of you deal with fear? I do. You know what fear does? It sucks life out of us. It prevents us from proclaiming God's truth. It prevents us from being free. I don't know if you caught the line, but it's profound. Your fears are not stronger than old Mac. They're just a little bit louder. I mean, Bingo, he was bold last night, was he not? He was ruthless. His passion came out full. And now he's running. He's running because Jezebel is after him. She wants to kill him. Because he's spoken God's truth. And now everybody's after him. And sometimes I wonder if that's true of us. Where maybe we think the world is after us because we have fear. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. That's identity. If you ever want a song about identity, that's it. He's a good, good father, a great, great farmer. Right? Good old Mac. That's who he is. And there's no way that you and I can run away from it. Because we are loved by him. It's who we are. It's who I am. And when that song begins, the lyric is amazing. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But because I've experienced your love, I wanted to tell them differently. I don't want fear anymore. Because God did not give me that spirit from 2 Timothy to be timid. He gave me a spirit to love, to be self-disciplined, and to be used by God's power. I love your age group. You know why I still like your age group? Because you're teachable. You know why I like your age group? Because you're like me. You have fears. And they're never stronger than your maker. They're just louder because we make him to be louder. You have your Bibles this morning. Go to 1 Kings once again. And let's finish the end of chapter 18. We didn't get to that last night. So go to 1 Kings 18 and go to verse 43. Elijah says, hey, go and look toward the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. So I can picture it right there because I saw it. When I was standing out at Mount Carmel a year ago, I looked west of where I was, and in the distance I saw blue, a strip of blue, and that was the Mediterranean Sea. So I know what it's referring to here. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And so his servant went up and looked. There's nothing there. And 7 times Elijah told him to go back and look for it. The 7th time the servant reported, okay, I see something now. A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, or go and tell Dodo, the rooster, Dodo. Hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. The rain is coming. Why? Because they heard the power of the rain. The thunder's here. The drought is over. Get ready. Hitch your chariot. And meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off back to Jezreel. And the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, everybody's a superhero, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Wait a minute. He just did this powerful thing with the sacrifice of what was on the wood and the bull, and they did their thing, and God consumed everything by his fire to show himself that he is God. And now power is on Elijah. He becomes like a superhero. And he tells King Ahab to go hit the chariot and ride off. And he does. But the power is so intense in Elijah and Bingo that he outruns Ahab. He's on chariot. And he outruns him all the way back. But then we get to chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. And Elijah was afraid, and he ran once again, but this time he ran the opposite way. He ran for his life. You ever run for your life? So I wake up in 8th grade with this disease, muscle and nerve disease, and go through my identity crisis where I wear that neck brace for about a month. I start tripping and falling down everywhere I walk. My balance goes off kilter, and I start to fall down. I lose my strength in my arms. You know when you fall and you trip, the first reaction is your arms go out to catch your fall. My arms are so weak that when they would go out to catch me falling from tripping, they would crumble and buckle, and the first thing they hit would be my head against pavement. And too many times I was taken to the nurse's office at school. And it just got worse. By the time I was a senior in high school, you know where I was? I was confined to a wheelchair. You ever see people in wheelchairs? They roll. They don't walk. They roll. But they're confined. People in wheelchairs have to rely on others to help them. I had to as well. I sat in a wheelchair for 5 years. 5 long years. And I was fearful. And even though I could not run physically, I ran for my life. Because I thought, where is God in the midst of this? I am hurting. Haven't you done enough in my life already? And you know what my attitude was, student? Will you just leave me alone? Would you just go pick on somebody else who maybe deserves this? I'm not a bad kid. I'm a class clown. I make people laugh. I tell jokes. I'm a great kid. Why do I have to deal with this? And I ran for my life. because I was scared to death of where my life was headed. And I sat in a wheelchair, timid. I didn't have a spirit of freedom in me at all. If I wanted to go to that door, someone had to push me there. And if no one was available, I had to sit and wait. You, if you want to go to that door, you can go whenever you want. People had to dress me and bathe me. They had to put me in the bed and get me out of bed for 5 years. You know what my mom was doing? She was planning my memorial service. You know what that is? It's like a funeral. According to one doctor, I'm supposed to be dead. And you were to have never met me. That's how bad my life got. The only thing I could do for myself at one point in my life was feed myself. But I needed an insulation tubing that would go over my silverware, the fork, the spoon, to give it a grip because my hands were curled up like this. It would be the middle of summer. I would feel like I needed to put on gloves because my hands were freezing, because my circulation was awful. I needed 24-hour care 7 days a week. I ran for my life, even though I couldn't run. I was scared to death. Elijah was scared to death. God just accomplished something amazing through him. And in the next instance, he is weak. He is shaking. He is tremoring. Because somebody's after his life. And I thought my disability was after my life. When he came to a place called Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. That's intense. And this is what he says, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." The angel we saw in that video this morning. He looked around and there by his hand was some baked bread that was baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And Elijah ate and drank and then he lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. He's not doing well here. And the angel of the Lord reaches out to him and says, "Bingo. Have you ever thought to stop running and just turn around? Old Mac is right there. He's always been right there. You just don't notice it because your fear is louder. But he is stronger." I'm a senior in high school. It's the month of May. I have one month left of high school, and then I graduate. The youth group I grew up in high school going to, every year they had a trip for seniors only. They called it the Grand Classic. And it was a houseboat trip. If you've ever been on a houseboat, do you know what a houseboat is? A houseboat is basically a picture of a camper, like a camper shell, but it's a lot nicer than a camper. Picture a camper on two long pontoons, and it floats on water. That's basically a houseboat. It fits about 15 people, 12, 15 people. So our youth group rented two boats. The senior girls had a boat to themselves, and the senior guys had a boat to ourselves. And the two of our houseboats would race during the day at the lake, and every night we would pull up in a different cove and spend the night. It was a four-day trip. I didn't want to go. I can't do anything. I didn't want to go because I would sit in a wheelchair and watch everybody else have fun. Jet skiing, skiing, swimming, jumping off the boat, swimming. Incredible. I can't do any of that. Why do I want to go? I'd rather sit home and watch TV. That would be my retreat. But my youth pastor said, you have to come. You don't have to come, but we want you there because if you're not there, it's not going to be the same. We'll take care of everything you need, Chris. We'll dress you. We'll bathe you. We'll help you with whatever you need. This trip is just as much for you as it is for all the other seniors. Come. I went. I was taking medication then. And the side effects of this medication were horrific. And one of the side effects, I don't care if you laugh, it's funny, I had diarrhea. No one laughed. Good. Because you know what diarrhea does. It's horrible. I couldn't help it. And I would have accidents all the time. I didn't want to go. I had a fear that that would happen on this trip. With no family around, but just peers, people like you instead. I didn't want to be embarrassed, but it went. And it happened in the middle of the night. It's about 3 a.m. one morning, and our houseboats are pulled up on shore. The girls are over here, we're over here, we're anchored to the shore, and I wake up out of a deep sleep. It's 3 in the morning. The crickets are strumming up a chorus. The moon is full. It's spilling through the curtains over the window in the houseboat, casting shadows on the wall on the other side of where I'm staying. I'm sleeping in the kitchen area of this houseboat. And everybody else, all the other guys, are sleeping up top on the roof, the second deck. And they're outside because the weather is nice, warm, and stars are out and they're up above. And I'm in the kitchen area of this houseboat beneath. My friend Jimmy chooses to sleep there that night as well. So he's on the other bed on the opposite side of where I am in the same room. It's just me and him. It's 3 a.m. I wake up. I hear the crickets. The moonlight spills through the houseboat window. Shadows on the wall. It's nice. The water's lapping up against the hall pontoons. You can hear it. It's peaceful. It's like a lullaby. And then all of a sudden, I knew it was coming. It sounded like firecrackers erupted in my sleeping bag. Right? It's funny. And that diarrhea was oozing down my legs. And I had an accident in my sleeping bag in the middle of a lake in Northern California called Lake Shasta. I'm about 6 hours away from family. I don't know what to do. My greatest fear was just realized. You know, I can't get up from my filth. I can't walk. I need a wheelchair, so I'm wallowing in filth. It's warm, it's squishy, it's disgusting. And I call out, Jimmy! He's sleeping away. He didn't hear me at first. Jimmy? No answer. The tears begin to well up in my eyes. They begin to drip down the curvatures of my cheekbones. And I taste the sanding of the tears on my lips as they quiver. I start to sob. And my body starts to shake. He's not responding. He's the only one in earshot of me that could help me. I don't know what to do. And I begin to bawl like a baby. And Jimmy wakes up. Chris, are you okay? What's the matter? Jimmy, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I just had an accident. And that was so hard for me to tell somebody who was my same age. I didn't want to admit it. And I was bawling my eyes out. I was humiliated, so embarrassed. I wanted to quit. I wanted to run for my life. I wanted to hide in a cave. And Jimmy gets up and he goes, do not worry about this, Chris, for 1 minute. Let me go get rich and we'll be right back. And he goes to the front of the hospital where my youth pastor Rich is sleeping and he wakes him up, Rich. And Rich. Jimmy, what's going on? What's happening? What? Everything's fine. We're all safe, but Chris is really hurting. What's wrong with Chris? He had an accident in his sleeping bag, and he wants to go home now. And that's impossible because we're in the middle of a lake, in the middle of nowhere, 6 hours away from where we live. That's not happening. He needs us to help him. All right, Jimmy. How about you go back to bed and I'll clean Chris up. And my friend Jimmy said, no, I'm not going back to sleep until I help you with him. Jimmy, come on, Jimmy, you're senior. You're his age. You're his peer. You can't deal with this. Jimmy, you're going to throw up at the sight of it, the first sight of this. You're going to get sick. Go back to bed. Thank you for your heart, but no thank you. I'll take care of it. And he said, I will not go back to bed. I'm helping you with him, and I don't care what you say. That's what I'm doing. And they get my wheelchair, they wheel it back to where I'm in, the houseboat, laying down. And they insert my sleeping bag. And as soon as I pull back the top layer, the stench envelops the whole room. And now it's humid, it's sticky, it stinks worse than before. It's not my youth pastor, not the adult here in the situation. No, it's Jimmy who pulls up his sleeves and gets in there and cradles me. And as soon as he does, there's diarrhea all over his arms. Can you do this? And he lifts me out of the sleeping bag, puts me in a wheelchair, and they wheel me to this little dinky bathroom that's on this houseboat. My wheelchair all week long couldn't fit through the doorway. And so all week long, they would have to drag me to the toilet. But today, they had to drag me to the shower stall. If they put me in the shower stall, they lean my body up against the wall, and they turn on the shower. It's not my youth pastor. It's still Jimmy. Turns on the water. He steps in and puts soap in the wash rag and lathers up the wash rag. And he doesn't say a word the whole time. He's not gagging. He's not flinching his nose. He's in control. He begins to wash the filth of diarrhea off my body. He cleans me up. I'm clean at this point. They wheel me back to my bed. It's probably about 4 a.m. at this point. I don't know where they got it, but there's a brand new sleeping bag waiting for me. I never did see my old one ever again. And they put me back to bed. And before they turned off the lights, you know what they told me? Thank you. I'm like, what? Thank you for what? I just ruined your day. Are you kidding me? You blessed our day. It was a process to clean up the mess. We are glad that you were here with us this weekend. Trying to get some sleep, and we'll see you in a few hours. Because it was 4 a.m. And student, during that time of my life, where I felt like Elijah wanted to run for my life, that moment will always be a still frame in my mind until the day I die. Because there were months, even years, where I didn't feel God because I was suffering, trying to survive. And it took one moment for a person to step up out of his comfort zone to help me, who was helpless. And because of Jimmy and what he did for me, I saw Jesus for the first time in many years. Not many years, many months. It was his action that spoke louder than words. And I knew because he hung in there with me and helped me that I had a good, good father. It's who he is. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. I don't want you to run for your life, student. I don't want you to have fear. Because fear squanders your freedom. It robs you of joy. Just like in that story here, the angel provided food for Elijah just so he would have just enough to keep going. Instead, I want you to have just enough so that you feel strengthened to keep going on your journey because you need his food. You need his care, his protection, his love. Because he's a good, good father. Amen. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, would you please help our day? Thank you, Lord, for our teachers. You did a wonderful job, Lord, in teaching us classes throughout the day. Give them strength. God, give our leaders, our parents, our teachers strength. God, fill our spirit with not timidity, but with your love and your power. Go before us this day. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.